We have called tonight a candlelight service. Truth is, there wouldn't be any light here at all if the candles had to light themselves. We could wait for days, weeks, months, years, decades. There is no way without light from the outside that candle will light. It's kind of a picture of Christmas. Love, hope, joy, peace, the light of all those came at Christmas, from the outside, from God, because we couldn't produce it ourselves. Isaiah is the one who prophesied that the people in darkness will see a great light. But right before that is the context. Isaiah 8:22, it says this: "They, the people of earth, will look toward the earth for light, and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness." Humanity cannot save itself. We cannot be the light in our own darkness. Fearful gloom, we kind of have it today, don't we? We want to push it away, but fear of things like, where is this world going? With all the violence, with all the brokenness, with all the conflict in our own lives. Questions like, where is the light of purpose? Where's their hope? It raises questions like, am I just a random collection of atoms that really has no meaning and I'm going to vanish? And then there's questions like, if there is more to life, what is that more? Where can be some light to show me that more, that'll give me meaning now and hope later? Questions around the darkness of our loneliness. Why in the midst of all these people am I lonely? Why, when I look around, do I feel myself like there's something wrong with me and I'm going to be found out? Fearful gloom. The Bible says if we try and fix that and find light on our own, ultimately, darkness. But then right after Isaiah chapter 8 comes chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. What is that light? Verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and Jesus was born." Jesus himself says of himself, "I am the light of the world," John 8:12. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus said, "I am the light of hope and love and joy and peace." And that light came at Christmas. And I just want to take a little bit of time and look at, as we look at the Christmas story, a couple of characters who missed the light and a couple that got the light. And from that, maybe we can think ourselves around, what does it look like to embrace the light that is Jesus? The first group of people that missed the light were the so many in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. If we go to the Christmas story in Luke 2, we read, and it's been read, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born." Jesus, Son of God, is born, and yet what's happening in Bethlehem? If you go to the end there, "She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger." There's no guest room available. Bethlehem was bustling that night. Government had said everyone has to come home and be registered, so you can just see people all over the place and activity all over the place. No one had time for a peasant couple. No one had time when some shepherds came excitedly down the street saying something's happened. They're just too busy. When light had come, they stayed in their darkness. A long time ago, I heard an old poem about the day after Christmas, some of the lines, "The day after Christmas, out in the den, Daddy's watching World Juniors again. Children are throwing and breaking their toys, mother's up to her ears in the noise," and on it went. And then there was this line, "Ribbons and wrappings are thrown all around. We hope when they're cleared, our lost child will be found." Clutter. What have we lost because of the clutter? Take on more at work, take on more extracurricular, take on way more social media. And I wonder if sometimes we push down those questions, those fears, and we don't bring them to the light of Jesus. Maybe it's time to say enough. I got to slow down and listen to Jesus and let his light touch my darkness. But to do that, we have to overcome another of our Christmas characters' problems, and that's King Herod. And it wasn't that he was too busy. He was too afraid to look at the light because it meant he had to give up control. You see, Herod was a king at the time, king of the Jews. Actually, Rome was in control. He's a puppet king. He had an illusion of control, and history says he was very malicious, paranoid to keep the control, killed people in his family if he thought they were a threat. And along comes these magi, these wise men, saying there's a king born in Bethlehem. And of course, in his paranoia, what does he do? We read in Matthew chapter 1 these terrible words. Or Matthew chapter 2. When Herod realized he'd been outwitted by the magi, they weren't going to tell him where Jesus was. He was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Wow. Afraid that maybe another king who could actually have given him life and stepped into his fear and anxiety and given him peace, but instead he had to keep his control. I'd rather stay in the dark that I know and humbly open my life to the light. There's an old Arabian tale about a guy who had some figs. By candlelight, he took one and opened it and had a worm. He threw it away, another one, opened it, had a worm. Did that with a few more, and so what he did is he blew out the candle and he just took the next one and ate it. I don't want to bring to the light reality. I'd rather eat the worms. Herod kept eating worms. They say he died very painfully not long after, when all along there was someone who would give him light, but he was too proud to give up control and come to this God who would have given him light. So there's two who didn't get it, too busy, too afraid, too proud. What about a couple who did get it? Joseph. He got the light because he believed what God said. Not at first. You heard it read. His wife, he's pledged to be married, they're not married yet, finds out that she's having a child. What would you think? That didn't come out of nowhere. She's been unfaithful. She could have been publicly disgraced, and he could have been a part of that. But instead, the Bible says, as an honorable man, he would just divorce her quietly. But then God says, no, there's something else going on. And it's pretty incredible. Matthew 1, verse 20, after Joseph considered all this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's God himself who implanted that life inside her. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. It's amazing, but Joseph believed. He took Mary. He went to Bethlehem. He believed. And out of that came the sense of God with him. Matthew writes about it. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's a lot Joseph didn't know, but here's what he did know. Even though it seems hard to believe, with God, he can do what's hard to believe. He can do the impossible. And he moved forward in God, and even though things didn't get easy, he knew God with him. See, that's what God offers when we believe, a relationship. He's with us. Back in 2003, basketball playoffs, a little 13-year-old girl named Natalie Gilbert won a contest. She got to sing the national anthem. 20,000 people in the stands, thousands more on TV. She got two lines into the Star Spangled Banner. She forgot the words. It's kind of a hush. No one knows what to do. The coach of the Portland team, Maurice Cheeks, came out of his place on the bench and put his arm around her and started feeding her the words and singing with her. And as she picked up the song again, he motioned to the people to sing along, and it became one of those amazing moments. Natalie Gilbert had someone unexpectedly come right beside her in the midst of her trouble. light in her darkness. God says, I don't want to be removed. I am God with you. If you only receive my light, I will come among you. What does it take to get there? Well, that's our next crew of characters, and they're the wise men, these magi. Joseph believed, they bowed to this Christ's authority. After searching, they bowed. We don't know much about them, Matthew 2. We know that they came from somewhere in the east, that they served some kings, and it's kind of strange. They'd have had all kinds of different religious quests, but as they looked in the stars, something amazing was happening, and the God in control of all the stars said, there's a baby born, and he's going to be king. Yeah, king of the Jews, but somehow, how does a king of one little group take over the stars? So they were interested, and they went on a search. Matthew 2:11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. They bowed down and they worshiped him. These were very important men. You don't bow down and worship a peer. You bow down and worship one you recognize as God, who is authority. Somehow in their heart of hearts, there's so much of the story they didn't not yet know, but whatever light they had, they said, this is true. Mark Buchanan, a great author and preacher, put it this way. He said, I bet these wise men weren't youngins, and I bet their quest had taken them in 1,000 wrong directions before it took them in the right direction. But God rewards the hunger in your heart. Now, they didn't know much. We, this side of Christmas and this side of Easter, know so much more. We wanted to make sure tonight that not just the lights were on in the manger, but they're on in the cross. Jesus came to be one of us so he could die for our sin. He could die for the many ways we had said to God, I want to do it my way. That's why we lack hope and love and joy and peace. God came today to deal with that when he died on the cross for us. In the person of Jesus. And the wise men say, if only we acknowledge that and bow before it like Joseph, if only we believe, then the light of a relationship with God can come to us. So where are you tonight? The Bible says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. In the person of the Son who was born, Jesus. Tonight, do you know that light? You may be in various places. What's interesting, very soon we're going to have that little taper candle and light's going to come from the outside. I could hold this taper for decades and centuries and it would not light itself. But tonight, light will come. Let it symbolize for you where Jesus' light needs to come. Maybe for you this is brand new and you're saying, okay, I'm going to not be too busy. I'm going to look into it. Whatever that means, talk to the people you came with. Maybe tonight it makes sense. And like Joseph to say, God, I believe. I need it. Like the wise men to say, God, I submit. I turn to you. I'm sure many in this room, we know that relationship. What does it mean to live in that light? I just read something today. A guy named John Eldridge talked about pausing in our day in the midst of its meetings, in the midst of its craziness, when it seems overwhelming to remember God is with us and to just pray this simple prayer. God, I give you everyone and everything right now. You're here. You're with me. You're in control. Let your light come to my darkness and my mess. And maybe as that light comes to you today, let it come into whatever is your mess. We can't save ourselves. We can't ultimately bring light to the darkness in our lives. That's why God has said the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. God, thank you tonight as we heard these stories, as we looked over the light of hope and joy and love and peace. We recognize, God, we cannot generate it ultimately for ourselves, maybe for a while, but never forever. And you have come to bring light that's forever. God, you know where each of us tonight needs to receive that light. Maybe it's the beginning of a journey. Maybe it's a point in the journey right now where we say, God, may that light come into my life. Or maybe, God, it's tonight us saying, God, you are with me and I need to receive your light into the darkness right now. Of that broken relationship, of that loss, of that loneliness. Of this medical condition, of this waiting, of this stuff I don't understand. Thank you that you are light in my darkness. Thank you that you are light in our darkness. Through Jesus, the light of the world, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing Silent Night. Bartoszek family, as we do, is going to come along, again, lit from the Christ candle, along the aisles, and they'll light your candle, light it across the aisle. It's also going to be out in the hospitality area. Parents, if you got children, please watch them. If someone has long hair in front of you, be careful. But it's amazing to watch the light come across the building and let it be symbolic of Christ's light shining in our darkness. Let's sing together, Silent Night.